As my dad aged, he kept saying something that I remember my grandmother saying a long, long time ago, and it's even longer now. Well, you wait and see when you're older how fast time goes by. How many of you say this? And it seems like it does fly. I don't know what happened to last year, but it went somewhere. And now we're in a new one, and the first month's almost shot. Time goes by fast. It's hard to realize that I'm starting my 10th year with McLeod Memorial. Holy Toledo, where did the 10 years go? I don't know. I don't. Time just sort of evaporates, doesn't it? And then we say, well, another year, another day, another, don't we? Thinking about who we are in terms of time is something that really is ageless. And it's something that really is a good thought when we look at today's lesson. How ageless really time is in terms of God's plan and God's work. This morning in confirmation class, we were talking about doing God's will. We're talking about justification by faith, that God loves us the way we are, that God takes us the way we are, and that God forgives us the way we are, even with our mistakes. But the timelessness, putting it in perspective, open your Bibles. It's a good thought. Before we listen to a missionary talk about dedication for something that we believe in, there's not enough time in a day to get everything done. And I'm sure that she's going to say the same thing. There's so much that we have to do, and we just don't have enough day hours in the day. And I'll get around, Betty reminded us, around to it sometime. Don't worry. It's a good quandary. Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 21. Now, you'll note in your Bibles that it says Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. So he's back among his hometown friends and family. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And I might insert here, and praised him, because if you see the parables of Christ, they're always short. Say, okay. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today's lesson is really a powerful lesson for all of us when we say time is moving too fast. It is. Jesus is beginning his ministry. The first act featuring baptism. There was temptation in the wilderness. We're going to touch on that in a later sermon. Choosing his disciples. Anybody's guesswork to begin his ministry, and now begins the summons to save the world from sin. So how does he start? He goes to church. He goes to his synagogue, the one where he was raised as a little boy. And here he is as a man, and he was chosen as a man to read God's word. He was asked to read the lesson from Isaiah. And so the hometown son of a carpenter reads for discussion that morning, as the morning lesson, those words from Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then after reading calmly, he tells the congregation that in him, that scripture has been fulfilled. Can you imagine what went through the minds of the people in the synagogue that morning when he said this? Had the audacity to stand in front of them and tell them that the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Can you imagine what they felt? That son of a carpenter. No doubt some of those folks laughed inwardly. Probably had wine for breakfast. Some of them probably just squinted their eyes and wondered what in the world he was saying. How could he be so bold to say something like this? Well, he's secure in who he is. On who he is and how he is going to do God's direction for life. He feels firm at that point in that lesson. Who he is and what he's going to be about. Jesus is secure, and he's going to live with God's guidance. His integrity is shaped. His identity is identified. He knows what God wants him to do, and he's going to go about the business of doing it. That's what I said. This is a good lesson for all of us, because the question that I ask myself, well, how about you? I said it this morning to the boys in the confirmation class. Do I know everything that there is to know after 53 years in the ministry? Am I really firm in what I believe and what I know and what I can produce and what I am? How about you? How's your identity in terms of following Jesus Christ? All of us face this question, you know. All of us come to grips with this question at some time during our life. We haven't, and if you haven't, you should. You should. What guides you into being the person that you are? What guides you in the decisions that you make? What guides you in terms of your temperament, your humor, your love for someone else? Living as a follower of Jesus Christ is allowing God into your life in such a way that a more joyful, more generous, more complete person really should emerge. Jesus shows us today that a person's integrity is based on relationship with God. Nothing more, nothing less. It's this relationship that shapes your morality. It leads you in ways of how you care for others. And more importantly, this is the key. The key on how you take care of yourself. Who are you in the eyes of God? Some of us are obligated to care for other people. I see this not just within our own congregation, but I've seen it within my own life, and God expects us to do this with generosity and love. But God wants you, in the more important fact, to take care of yourself as well as that other person. To take care of yourself. This begins with your being with God, who forgives, who loves, who listens to all of your complaints and all of your concerns, and who comforts you in all of your tears. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Your identity as a child of God began with baptism. And it began not just with you as a baby, but by your parents and their concern and their love. And then to the congregation, to all of you, you said, yes, we want to help you identify with what you're going to be as a child of God in Jesus Christ. God's already blessed all of us in a marvelous way through baptism. But you know what? He's ready to bless you in marvelous ways as you grow. I asked the boys this morning, what's been the most exciting thing that's happened to your life up to this point? Look at their age. 12, 13. What exciting thing has come into your life? They shared to this point. But how many of us, with snow on the mountain, can look at God and say thank you for, and be specific about the moments in your life that God has touched you the deepest, the longest, and the hardest? It may have been times of tears. It may have been times of laughter. It may have been the anticipation of something that happened that you didn't really expect to happen, and it happened in your life. I remember a couple, I said, well, what's been the most important thing in your life that God has touched? And the guy sat there and said, I don't know. And she said, letting us fall in love. Letting us fall in love. Who are you? In the busyness of life, may we together follow Jesus Christ in challenging the world around us. In challenging the world for good, for love, for hope, for the integrity of your Holy Spirit, because you've got it. Share it. Then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue fastened on him, that son of the carpenter. And today that scripture has been fulfilled. Amen. God our Father, we're grateful for your Spirit and for your love and for identifying within us the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to change, mold, and guide us as we seek to serve you. Amen.